Welcome to the Questo Dome. All right, here we go. Bonus episode time. We're doing a spoiler bonus episode. This is your spoiler alert. Welcome to Spoilsville, USA, population U. Because we're talking about the movie It Follows. And we're going to all the spoilers. Or as many things as can be spoiled.
Yes, Chris. Remember, it doesn't think. It doesn't feel.
What does it do then?
It doesn't give up.
Well, then it doesn't do anything.
It follows.
Oh, shit! Oh! Not a good sound effect for that. That was awful. That was just...
That's cheesy.
See, now I'm going to have to pull up a totally different soundboard. And I'll try at random. It follows!
That works a little better.
Okay. Oh, shit. I didn't... No. See, now I hit an ad. Oh, God, this thing. All right. Just leave it alone. Stop touching it. Stop bothering with that thing. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. That was a dick around opening minute. Just had to get it all out. Get out the silliness.
The dickery.
Time to talk about a movie. I'm hanging out with Joseph Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going,
see,
dude.
I should now have to go back to this one. I was hanging over here. Say, Joseph Cogburn! Yeah. We saw the movie It Follows. We did a spoiler-free review in episode 116 of Cinema Crespediso, which was released a few days ago. You can check that out with the Black Hasselhoff himself from Forget That Yo Radio and Emerge City Clothing. All good stuff. And the Time Out Show. Guy's got a lot of fires in the hopper.
Does that Emerge City stuff, does that make him any money?
Probably not. Well, who knows? Okay. He's always gambling. He's gamble crazy.
He is, but I think...
And he puts all that stuff on the internet, so it's not like I'm blowing his spot up or anything.
I think at one point in time, he made a decent amount of money gambling, and he's just kind of whittling that down, because he always seems to break even-ish. He's like, yo, man, I just won like 1,500 bucks, and then I lost 1,000.
Yeah. you'll sound about that over a weekend. It's like, man. Yeah, it's funny. Hey, you know what? Who read it's on what to do with his money? He can do whatever he wants. He wants to... And his t-shirts are pretty sweet, actually.
I really like his shirts. Yeah, they're all pretty cool. Yeah.
From nothing to something. It's a good tagline, too.
From something to nothing.
So, yeah, that's worse. Got that backwards. So, check that out. That was our spoiler-free review, in which we both said that we loved it, pretty much, right?
Yes.
Right? So, here is the spoiler-filled review. This is where we talk about the movie. We're going to talk about the story and the deets. What it is. Might be, what it could be, what happens at the end, etc., etc., what we think happened at the end, because there's just a meh. I think at first glance there's a touch of ambiguity at the end there, but...
Well, at first glance, it says it's a horror movie, and, you know, all the trailers are very horror-esque with it, and, you know, it says horror, 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 but for some reason...
Horrors.
It's more, I feel it more of a suspense movie than a horror movie. It's a haunted STD, I mean, it follows.
Well, the STD isn't haunted. It's a haunting STD. Right? Because the STD itself isn't haunted. It's following you.
Yes.
It's coming after you, and you can't shake it no matter what.
Yes.
And you can make it go away for a little while, but then it's going to come back.
It's going to come back.
It's going to come back.
It's weird.
Okay, well, the movie starts... With what may be, I don't know, possibly one of the best opening scenes I've seen in a movie in a long time. Like, it really set the fucking tone.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Like, this is what you are about to see for the next...
All of a sudden...
How long is the movie? Hour and a half?
1 hour...
Hour 40?
And...
Can't be that long. Did it feel that long?
Where...
It would be at the top on the IMDb page.
1 hour, 40 minutes, yeah.
An hour 40?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see, it opens...
And it's kind of hot chick. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, good looking chick.
Who's this chick?
Good looking chick in a weird assemblage of clothes that she looks like she threw on, like she was sleeping or something, and then heels. Like, these are the only shoes laying around. Kind of, you know, like she's. But even before that, though, your opening shot's important in how it's a shot of a street. I remember this. It's a shot of a street, a lot of trees. It's a suburban place. Mm-hmm. We find out later it's Detroit.
Yeah.
Suburban America.
Slow pan to the door.
Slow pan to the house, right? And you got the. A very fall feel to everything, yes. An autumnal feel, right? And that immediately boom, that image. I can't remember if there was music over that or not. It may have opened silently. Image, boom. I thought John Carpenter's Halloween. Yeah. Like 100% mm-hmm. right away. Obviously, the original Halloween 78 or whatever. And then, like you said, pants to the house. And it's all one shot, too.
Yeah.
Right? Pants to the house. Girl just runs out of the front
all
door.
All of a sudden, yeah, girl pops out the front door and just kind of.
It's all freaked out. Like, yeah. Oh shit, like something's chasing her. And then we follow her into the street and she's backing up the street. So then we don't see the house anymore. We see her. So the whole opening thing, we never see it in any form or whatsoever.
No, but it's there.
It's there. It's something chasing around. That's, yeah. what it, that's what's going
well,
cause,
on. Yeah, because she pops out of the house and then runs around like a maniac.
Yeah,
and
she runs in a weird circle.
Back into the house.
But then, like, there's a neighbor who's like, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And yeah. the dad comes out. It's like, don't worry. It's cool. Like, she's trying to placate everyone else. It's like, what the fuck is going on? It's such a surreal, weird... like nightmare quality to
well,
the
yeah,
whole
and
thing.
Then she drives out to the beach.
Well, yeah, she runs back into the house.
Yeah,
all one shot, runs back out, jumps into the car, drives away.
Hightails.
Fucking gets the fuck out of
yeah.
there. Yeah, and then she gets.
And then she gets to the beach, and she's just kind of chilling there. Looks like she hangs out for a little bit.
She doesn't just chill there. She puts her back to the water, to the yeah. ocean, because something's following her. She's like, it won't get me. It's not going to come out of the ocean. And when that happened, I was like, wow, this person is so freaked out, she just ran to the biggest body of water she could. It wasn't the ocean, obviously.
To know
that
there's nothing behind her.
She's at a lake. Yeah, to know that there's nothing behind her. It has to come at her. That's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Makes the phone call to her dad. It's all apologetic. I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. Right? And then cut to...
Boom.
Morning.
Morning. Sunrise. Beautiful sunrise on the beach. Girl lying there. One of her legs bent backwards.
It's broken.
Towards her.
It's broken off. It's broken at her knee.
Yeah.
It's like something grabbed her and broke it like a wishbone.
And she's just sitting there and she looks, they've all got that gray look. The ones that die.
A little grayed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you only
like the life force has been sucked out of them or something.
You see two people die.
Yes. And both of them, same thing.
Both mad. I wasn't really paying attention much to her skin tone the first time around because I was a little thrown by her leg being completely broken.
Yes.
This thing, it didn't stab her, it nope. didn't choke her, nope. it didn't even mangle her.
Nope.
It fucking broke her.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa. That's fucked up. That's how we're starting this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then really, I guess that's, aside from some gunshots later towards the end, that's really the only like gore in the movie.
Yeah, gunshots at the end.
Yeah, no. It never goes back to that route. But I think it works that way because if it opens like that, then you're thinking, oh shit, anything could happen in this movie. So you're waiting for something horrible to happen.
Yeah, because it's, oh god, it's so tense.
And then even when people finally do get attacked, a lot of times it happens like off screen or whatever. It doesn't happen the same way as that.
No, right? Not until you get near the end and they get out to that weird boathouse or whatever the fuck they were in.
Oh, we're at the lake yeah, side place.
And then
yeah.
things get crazy.
Well, before we get there, right, so we got that girl, she dies. Okay.
Yes.
And then we're introduced to our girl, Jay, who's Micah Monroe from The Guest.
Yes.
And she's going on a date with some dude. You're going to see a movie.
Yep.
Right? And then like he's like, oh shit, do you see that person? She's like, no, and he starts freaking out and all that. So we know
he is being followed.
He's being followed by it.
It. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. And then a couple of dates go by and he fucks her.
Yeah.
Right? They have sex in the car. And
things are all nice too. Like she's talking afterwards, like getting deep into conversation about like some really personal
stuff.
Yeah,
she
goes
on some monologue about what she dreamed about when she was younger about going on dates and stuff with boys.
And then he knocks her out with
like a rag of something, like the ether thing or whatever. What is not ether? What is it that's used when you put on chloroform?
Chloroform, yes. Knocks her out chloroform style.
Chloroforms are very...
Yeah.
So sticking with the sexual thing, because obviously the movie, I mean, this thing is transferred via
through sex.
So you can't see the movie without thinking about
sex.
Sex, without seeing it through the filter of sex. Even though I read interviews with a guy where he says, the sex isn't that important. That was just the best way you could think of transferring the thing around.
Uh-huh.
The most interesting way, but it's really just supposed to be a nightmarish entity, death. For the most part, it's not necessarily sexually related, but because there's sex in the movie, when that happens, that brings to mind things like acquaintance rape, you know, where a lot of rapes are people that you know,
mm-hmm.
and you you freely put yourself in a situation because you trust the person, and then they betray that trust. And what do you do? How do you tell other people about it? Then you feel there's like an element of that when she was talking to the cops afterwards.
Well,
and they're like, was it consensual?
Well,
and she was like, yes,
cops,
it was consensual.
Well, after she gets chloroformed, she wakes up in an abandoned whatever.
An abandoned
tied
part of Detroit.
To a wheelchair in her underwear.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't even put her clothes back on.
Nope.
Her. Never did.
Nope.
Kept her in her underwear.
Yep.
Poor girl. And he breaks it down to her, tells her, listen, it's coming. I'm doing this so you know that it's coming. And sure enough, it comes in the form of a naked lady.
Yeah, and he shows it to her. He's like, listen, I want you to see it to know that this is what's going on here.
He makes a big show of it.
Because
he wants her to believe it so that she passes it along.
Exactly, because he wants to put as much distance between him and it as he can. Because it's coming for him.
Because he explains to her, someone gave it to me, now I gave it to you, and you have to pass it on. If you pass it on, then it's not going to kill me. It's not going to kill you. It's going to keep going down the line. Okay? Keep that in mind, because I want to bring that up again later. That plays into my theory about the movie. Then he drops her off at the house in her underwear. Her friend's like, what the fuck? And then you got to call the cops. That's where, acquaintance rape and all that shit. And it's very awkward and horrible.
He doesn't just drop her off in her underwear. He drops her off still tied by the hands.
Was she tied by the hands?
Yeah. She was still tied by the hands.
I just remember being in her underwear and stumbling around. And he left her in the street
with
the car still running.
Yep.
It was like, have sex with someone as fast as you can. And drives off and he disappears. And then the cops look into it, rented a house under a fake name. And this whole, he disappeared, blah, blah, blah. Two towns over, some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what happened after that? Then she had to was she going to believe it? When she's looking around, is that a person or is that a thing coming for me?
Yeah. Right?
It's a lot of stuff like that for 10, 15 minutes. What clicks? Oh, it's when. Okay,
it's the old lady.
So she's got her friends. The old lady? Which one was the old lady?
When she was sitting in class and she saw this old woman walking towards her. That was the first time that she encountered it.
It. Okay, yeah. So she's in, I think, college.
Yeah.
It looked like college. Right?
Yeah.
And
later in the movie, she comments that she had sex with somebody in high school. So I assume that they were out of high school.
Yeah, sure. You're right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. She's sitting in the class and the teacher's ran on about some bullshit that I'm sure is thematically relevant to whatever we're watching. And looks across the way. Something's coming. She's like, oh, shit. She leaves. And it keeps coming. It's coming down the hallway. And no one else sees it. They establish that, which is important.
Because she starts talking to it. Starts screaming at it, like thinking it's an actual person.
Yeah, she's like, hello, to respond to it. And the other people that are in the hallway don't see it. So they're like, hello? What, are you talking to me? You fucking weirdo, right? So then she has to convince her friends that this is what's happening. Of course they don't
believe her.
They want to believe her because they're friends. She's got two friends. She's got the one with the glasses.
Well, four friends. Well, at the end, three friends to start.
Yeah, three friends to start.
The two girls and the dude.
Well, actually, one of her friends is her sister.
Oh.
Right? Yeah, one of them was her sister. So it was her sister, dude with the glasses. No, chick with the glasses, and the nerd dude, who they were like childhood friends, right?
Uh-huh.
So she tries to convince them this is what's happening, and they all agree to sleep over her house. That's when the shit gets crazy, because there's
all of a sudden there's a broken window.
There's a broken window. The dude goes to check out. There's there's no one here. He goes upstairs.
Because no one can see it but the person.
She goes into the kitchen, and it's a fucked up girl with a fucked up mouth, half naked. She's pissing on herself, walking super slowly. She's like, get out of here. What are you doing? And she's just standing there.
And then she does do the classic horror thing where she runs upstairs.
Well, that's where her friends are. That is where her friends are.
No, her friends were downstairs. They were in the living room when it happened.
They weren't in the living room because remember, Paul left her alone.
They were in the living room when it happened because she came downstairs
to hang out with Paul in the living room.
Yeah.
And then
the thing happens.
Window breaks. Paul goes to check out. There's no one there. Then he disappears.
Yeah.
And she's left alone in there.
Yeah, but she runs upstairs and she locks herself in the room because she has other people
I
in.
Thought they were in another room upstairs.
No.
Man, they were downstairs. It doesn't matter.
It's classic horror.
It is a classic horror.
I'm afraid
thing. Yes.
I'm going to run upstairs where it's harder for me to get away.
Absolutely. There are definitely, they're definitely going with a lot of horror film tropes, thriller tropes, and conventions. And some of them they turn on their head, some of them they just use as intended, as the design. So yeah, she does. First, she does the thing where she freezes for a second. She's like, and then she runs upstairs, right? And then there's that whole sequence on the giant. Then it changes from the lady to the giant. And that whole scene is fucking crazy.
It
man.
Is.
Love that scene actually. I think about it.
She jumps out the window. Runs to the park.
Yeah. And because that's the thing.
And weird dude from across the street sees her.
who apparently they had a thing
in high school,
and then he like treated her like shit afterwards. I guess that's what I gathered.
Right, because he was a high school guy. Yeah,
a lot of at that point too. Like he sees her running away, and then we get their perspective. We get him. He's sitting in the car, I think smoking a joint with some lady.
Yeah,
and then they're like, "What the fuck?" And watching. There's a lot of things like that. Seeing other people, seeing something going on. I find that interesting. And then also, like you said, she goes to the park. She gets in the swing. And she's like looking around. And then the movie does this great, right? Seemingly very mundane shots of like a tree line. You know, a house that you can't see around the corner or whatever. All of a sudden, they're filled with fucking menace.
Yeah, because is it going to walk around the corner?
Yeah.
Is it coming for me now?
Is it going to just like
keep my eye on the horizon? What the fuck's going on here?
Because it is always coming for you, yeah. No matter what. It's always walking towards you, so it's not going to get on an airplane.
He said it's slow, but it's not stupid. Mm-hmm. Always give yourself two exits, things of that nature.
And like you said with the tagline at the beginning, it was like, it doesn't give up. It'll keep coming.
No.
And then it keeps changing, which is annoying. Yeah. And sometimes it's someone that you know. Double annoying.
Yeah.
So she finally, like, all this shit goes down. She convinces them that they're like, okay, something's really fucked up here. So that's when they all end up going to the
lake house.
The dude's lake house. Yeah. Like, let's go to my lake house, my parents' lake house or whatever. It will be safe up there. And it gives them some distance.
Yeah.
So then the next day, they're chilling on the beach. This was genius. This was great. I love how they're chilling on the beach. And the friend with the glasses is seen walking up from the back. And immediately I'm thinking, is it or isn't it? Right? Because we only see her sister, and Paul chilling on the beach. And for like a minute or two, they're talking. And this chick is slowly coming up behind them. And then the camera cuts to the other direction. So we see in the water.
There she is.
There's a girl with the glasses floating in the water. Like, guys, come in the water. We're like, oh, shit, it's it.
It's coming.
And that scene. All right. So that scene.
And it was great, too, because her back was to where it was coming from. So she could. She had no idea it was coming.
No idea. And then it grabs her hair. Like, it finally catches up to her, and it grabs her hair. Now, see, okay. It's a cheap. Not. I don't call it cheap. Low budget. It's an indie film. Low budget, right? So don't want to really knock it for digital effects, but I mean, obviously some of the digital effects were like, you could tell.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so the thing shows up, it grabs her hair, and they can see her hair being pulled, they just can't see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, kind of. The dude does take a chair to it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So the kid picks up the chair and swings at the general direction and then hits something, and then it kicks him, and then he does the movie thing where he is digitally thrown.
Yeah.
And it's the equivalent, it's the digital equivalent of like throwing a dummy off a building or off a bridge, and people, people think that's a real guy, right?
Yeah,
it's the same thing. It's so what if it's digital? So I don't want to knock the movie for that shit, but as far as I can tell right now, that's the only thing I have against the movie. Really, no. You know, just some of the
that one shot,
not just that one shot, but the digital effects in general look like, we know what we had to didn't do this. This isn't a Peter Jackson joint.
Yeah, no,
this is an indie film that they scraped together this shit, but. Didn't take me out of the movie. It was, it was fine enough. So yeah, they can interact with it though. That's very important, right?
Yeah.
They can't see it, but if they know it's there, it's actually in the same physical space. They can touch it. It can touch them. They can interact with it.
It won't attack anybody else unless provoked.
Right. It'll leave everyone else alone.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So that whole scene's crazy. Where it changes like two or three times. It's a friend.
It's the girl. And it's the friend, then it's the giant,
and
then it's the little, some weird creepy little kid.
I think that was supposed to be Paul, their other friend, but with the crazy digital face, digital demon face, where it's like that. See, it would have been creepier if it was just him, with maybe some makeup on him, but they went like, oh, let's try to enhance it even more now. But and then when she runs out of there through another exit, then it becomes like another girl. Is it her sister? I can't tell. It was just another girl entirely, I think. But it keeps coming for her. She gets away.
Well, she steals her friend's car
and gets into a car accident.
Drives away, leaves them at the lake house.
Well, they're fine.
And then
it's not coming for them.
Gets in a car accident.
But it's coming for her.
And then she wakes up in the hospital.
Where then another instance of she's just laying in bed
and she's freaking the fuck. Oh my god, I'm stuck in a hospital. It's on its way.
She's looking at the door to her room. Everyone else is sleeping. The door to her room, and you can hear that.
You just hear click, ching, clack, click, ching.
Yeah, the walking.
Ching. It's a nurse.
And it's just a nurse. Yeah. Oh shit, bro. What is it? It's just footsteps. They're so menacing. They're so scary. okay, so then this is when, like, the friends have experienced it, the manifestation, including the dude, the older guy, who's, like, super cool guy. Like, hey, I like how the first scene, like, I think the first scene you saw him, he was, his shirt had, like, a bear on it. And then, like, in the second scene...
He smoked a joint.
No, second scene, he had a shark. And I was trying to keep up with all the animals on his shirts. But then after that, he was wearing a shirt that didn't have an animal. I was like, oh, ruined, lost opportunity. They should have had, like, an eagle on it. Like, oh. He sleeps with her in the hospital bed.
Yeah.
For the purpose of trying to get it so he can confirm it, and then they can, you know, save her, and then he can pass on, right? I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
Well, exactly, because they figured that he would pass it on. He's kind of, you know...
He is.
He gets around.
And didn't they show there is a one shot of him hanging out, like, in a cafeteria, and he's talking to some girls, and he's, like, flirting with the girl, right? But we never see what happens after that.
No.
Okay?
That's before he gets it, though.
No, that was after he got it.
It was before.
Was it? Are you sure about that?
Absolutely positive.
Because then what's the point of showing that scene if it's before he got it?
They set it up so that he was a player, so it would make sense that he would try to take it from her so he could pass it on.
Okay. But the important thing is he doesn't see it.
No.
For like 3 days. They keep asking, do you see it? And he's like, nope. And she's staying in her room because she's freaked out. And he's like, I don't see shit. So then, of course...
She's sitting there in a room.
That night.
Well, she sees him walking down the street.
In his long johns.
Yeah, and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but then...
It tries to get in the front door.
And then it just grabs a rock, breaks a window, which now we know is its modus operandi. If it can't get in through the door, it's going to break shit to get it. So she knows it's not him.
Yeah.
It's it. He tries to call him. We mentioned this on the spoiler-free episode, how it's... It's kind of a timeless movie. It seems like it's late 70s, early 80s. So there's no cell phones or computers. But then the girl has the clamshell.
The clamshell Nook. Reader.
Yeah.
And it's got a Wi-Fi connection on it.
Yeah.
So.
Weird, right? Mm-hmm. That's strange. But I think that's going to help the movie over time, though, because it gives that more, out of time. It can happen anytime, any place type of thing, that feeling. And she runs across the street. And, of course... It has changed by the time she sees it.
It's his mom now.
Which we find out afterwards, right? It's his mom, half naked, and she's just knocking on the door, which I find that funny. I like that. It's
just knocking on the door.
For being a horrible, evil, supernatural, violent demon entity of some sort.
It still has manners.
It's surprisingly polite. Yes, it has manners. Yeah. It's like... Hello. He doesn't say hello. Knock. Like, come on, let me in. They could just try to kick the door down, but it's just knocking. And then he opens the door, and it pounces on him immediately. When she walks into the room, right, it's fucking him
to death.
He is dead already by the time we see it, and it's fucking him. And so I'm thinking,
there are some weird juices flowing too.
Oh yeah, no, it's horrible. It's not a pretty sight.
It was weird.
It's unsettling.
Yeah.
So is that what it's trying to do? Is it trying to catch you so it can fuck you to death no matter who you are?
Maybe.
Is it always sexually related?
Perhaps.
many of them.
We don't know because we don't see the first.
We don't see the first one, and that's the only one we do see, and we don't see anything after that.
Yeah. All we see the after effect of one death, and then the actual killing of. But one of them was a female. This one's male. Maybe there's a difference. I have no idea.
Maybe there is a difference. A lot of times when we do see the thing coming for you, it's in some state of undress, if not totally nude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Naked guy standing on the roof.
Oh, man, that was creepy. that was a good shot. It kills him. So she did transmit it, but it didn't necessarily work because it killed him. So now it's coming for her.
Again,
right? So she's hiding in the house, right? Is that... I'm trying to remember the events when... Because there's the... She sleeps with Paul. Paul has to convince her. And I was like, dude, this is kind of...
Well, that was kind
of... You found a hell of a way to get your in, man.
It's I know, right?
I'll take this from you. Please sleep with me. Like, dude, that is desperate, bro.
That is the epitome of desperation.
Right. I mean,
I will take this haunted entity trying to kill me just so I can get between your legs.
Just for that. And it works. It worked for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he got the sex that he wanted. Actually, he got the relationship that he wanted finally, right?
Yeah.
But that's at the end then. Before we even get there, Did they have sex first before they left the house to go to the...
The pool?
To the pool?
No. Because it was still coming for her.
Right. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and bring this up. Because they did, like, talk to the other guy. We skipped this part. Where they tracked down the dude. Before,
oh, yeah.
Before she passed it on to the other friend with the long hair. They tracked down the first guy with his real name. Mm-hmm. And went to his house. And they had a powwow. And it was the most exposition he got about anything. Which is kind of... Really just repeating what we already knew.
Yeah.
It was passed via sex. She needs to have sex to pass it on. And he repeats, hey, it's this is the only way for me to live. But then he mentions, I still see it.
Yeah.
So I need you to pass along because I still see it. When it comes to the evidence of the movie, what we're actually seeing, that's, I believe, that is folklore misinformation within the world of the film. The idea that you can pass this thing along and get rid of it, I think that is wrong.
Well, it
the characters think this is the way to get rid of it, but no one knows that because they all keep fucking dying.
Yeah, well,
so there's no one to tell them, no, it's wrong because they're dead.
It's not the way to get rid of it. It's a way to prolong it coming for you. It's a way to stave off.
No. This is what I'm saying. No. I'm saying you pass it along. It's going after that person now, but it is also coming after you. We have no evidence in the movie that works.
Well, there's only one of it. It can only go for one person at a time.
Who says that?
We only see it going for one person at a time.
Yeah, but who says that there's only one of it? We only see because we're following one character's perspective at a time. It's not like we ever get a Brian De Palma split screen where we're seeing multiple characters at once.
Well, I mean,
he says, I still see it while it's chasing her down.
Well,
they're not seeing the same one. It's not going back and forth between the two towns trying to pick one.
She sees it when it's going to kill the dude who it's going after. After she passes it along, she can still see it.
The it that's coming for him.
Yes.
Not the it coming for her.
Well, it's also called It Follows, not They Follow.
So because I'm talking about character perspective. POV is important in a movie, you know? Most of the movie, we're seeing it from her perspective.
Yeah.
When do we not? The opening scene, we don't. And, like, that one shot where the dude's chilling. And then at the end, when the kid's trolling for hookers, which we'll talk about later. I had that idea halfway through the movie. Did you ever think about the movie, what you would do? If you got it?
I thought about it.
Yeah, what would you do?
There's no way of, I mean, there's really no way of getting rid of it.
That's my point.
If you do pass it along, and it puts you next in line to be killed, then, you know, you have no idea, A, if the person you passed it along to is still alive or not.
That's my problem.
B, you don't know if they've passed it along to anybody else.
That's my problem, yes.
You don't know if the person after that, you there's no way of knowing how, you know, where you are on the list.
Yeah.
You are perpetually in fear, whether it's coming for you or not, because until you are actually dead, or you put enough distance in between you and it to where it can't get you by the time you die, it's coming for you.
It's imminent.
Yes.
No matter what, it's coming for you.
Yes.
That's what I thought. I was thinking,
because there's no way of knowing how much distance is between you and it.
I was thinking prostitute. All right. I need to have sex right away. The easiest way, just pay someone to have sex with you.
But then the hooker's dead.
No. It's a hooker. All right. Mm-hmm. I have sex with her. What is she going to do? She's going to go home and take a nap? No, that's me. She's going back to work.
Yeah.
She's going to have sex with another guy. Pass it on to him immediately. Boom. She may never even see it.
Okay.
But here's then where I get stumped. Oftentimes, dudes using hookers, maybe it's because they can't get laid so much. What if the next person she has sex with is some guy who's like, this is the one time a year I get a hooker.
Yep.
The one time a year I get laid. And then he goes home and he's not going to have sex again for another 12 months until his hooker next year. It's going to kill him.
And then it's going to kill the hooker because she's never seen it.
But she's going to keep having sex.
Yeah.
Unless she's like, she gets sick or she comes into some money or whatever.
Well, I mean, they are hookers.
Exactly.
So they can get sick pretty quick.
But that also means she's going to be passing it around a lot of people.
I think it would be good. It would work for a little while. But eventually dead hooker.
Eventually it's going to go wrong eventually.
And then you know what? Maybe she gets dead hookered by Maybe somebody else kills her before it kills her.
Dead natural cause hooker. Dead, yeah. Dead hooker natural causes.
Yes.
Hooker natural causes. Not normal natural no, causes.
Hooker natural causes.
Yeah. Being bludgeoned to death with a lead pipe.
That happens.
Is unfortunately natural cause of death for a lady of the night.
Uh-huh.
When the whole system is criminalized like that. And they're forced to. So that's what I was thinking. But anyway. Okay. So I'm thinking. My theory of the movie is that it... and it plays into what you said. That the... You can't really get rid of it. There's no way to get rid of it. You can pass it along.
You can put some distance between you and it.
You can literally put yourself distance between you and it, but it's still coming. It will always be coming. And then the final dialogue of the movie is the girl, she's laying in bed, the hospital bed, the one with the glasses. She's using her clam shell nook thing. And she's reading something. I don't know if it's all from the idiot or what, because she name drops the idiot in the beginning. Yeah. But how death is this thing that's coming for you, and the worst part is the waiting and the certainty, which is what the whole movie is about.
Yeah.
But how? So before we even get to that, we keep jumping back and forth. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm assuming that people are listening to this have pretty much seen the movie. That's the whole point of these spoiler episodes, anyway, right? So you can you guys can follow along. So they're in the house, right? And. Does anything happen before they go? What happens before they go to the pool? After the dude dies, but before they go to the pool, they have sex. She has sex with Paul.
No. She has sex with Paul after the pool.
Was it after the pool?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay.
Because it's still coming for her. That's right.
Yes, you're right. That's right. It's still coming for her. So and she's like in the room, and like, we don't know where it is. We don't see it. Like, I haven't seen it in a while. All right, let's go. Let's try to go somewhere. And like, all right, we'll go to the place where we were before the pool. And that's when they get in the car. They start backing out the driveway. And she looks up. And it's a naked, crazy dude sitting on the roof.
Yeah.
Like, looking at her.
So.
And the music's all. Bow.
Yeah. They're like, I haven't seen it in probably 3 days. All right, it's probably still on its way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the fucking roof.
It's on the roof trying to figure out how to get in. How I got up there, I have no idea. But now it's up there.
Yeah.
That was hysterical. It was over them the whole time. Death. Death is over you the whole time.
Yeah.
They go to the pool. You already have the idea. She gets in the pool.
And they have electronics. Maybe they can electrocute it to death.
They can. It falls into the water. She gets out. They throw all the electronics in the pool, and it kills it. It shows up in the form of her dad, which is horrible. And it's not stupid.
Nope.
He said earlier.
Yeah, it's not stupid.
It doesn't get in the pool. And instead it walks around and starts picking the electronics up and throwing it into the water with her in there.
Like televisions.
Yeah.
And
at first.
Lots of really heavy things.
First it throws the first thing in there and there's like a little bit, but it didn't work. I guess too much water, not enough electricity, not enough voltage. So the plan wouldn't have worked anyway, which is an interesting little. Oh, well.
Which is good because she would have died.
Which is good because she would have died. And then it just starts going around the pool picking up everything. The irons, the televisions, the radios, and starts. Chucking them at her fucking hard.
Yeah.
That may have been the scariest part of the movie for me because I was imagining, what if I got hit with like the corner end of one of these things?
Television, and then you were knocked out and you drowned.
And you probably drowned, right? She was like, she pops up out of the water, and as soon as she pops up, like, here's a TV coming at your face. And I'm like, landing right in front of her. Like, oh my God, it's scary. This is hysterical when Paul picks up, they have a gun. Paul has his gun.
Yeah.
Where did they get the gun from? Whose gun was it?
I think it was
at the lake house. It was homeboy's gun. Yeah. Long hair's gun. He's like, he wants to shoot it. He's like, where is it? Point at it. And she just points at nothing
because
they can't see it. And he takes a shot, hits a friend in the leg.
In the leg, yep.
I'm like, dude, you got it. I know you're freaked out, but I mean, your friends are in there, right?
Yeah, but then they throw a blanket on it.
Genius. So smart.
And it doesn't take the blanket off.
I don't even think, barely even had time to. Like, threw the blanket on her. Paul walked up on her like a gangster, one to the dome, boom, falls into the water. She doesn't get out of the water in time. It's still alive because we already established that at the lake house. You shoot them, they go down for a second, but then they come right back up. They're not. You can't kill them, right? At least not with bullets.
At least, well, I mean, they...
Not with bullets. Well, yeah.
Well, maybe. You don't really, I mean...
I don't think so because the one at the lake house got shot in the neck and she went down like she died.
Yeah.
And then she got up a couple seconds later. This one, point blank in the head.
It went down.
It went down to the water, but then it was alive again.
But after they got it out, after they got her out, after it grabbed her, and there was that struggle.
Well, there was the struggle, right, where it grabs her leg. That was an awesome shot, too, where it's the wide shot from the side, and you see it grabbing her leg, and she's swimming. And then Paul's like, oh, shit, I got to shoot from outside.
Yeah.
You know, refraction and all that. It's a bitch. It takes a couple shots, and then you see the path of the bullet. It's like, come so close to her. I was like, oh my God, he's gonna hit her. That was a great shot. And then
hits him again in the head.
Pure luck hits him in the head, and it lets go. Because, again, I think if you do something like that, it will act like it's dead for a couple seconds. But it's going to pop right back.
But it not only let go, after that, the last part of that scene was just the immense amount of quote-unquote blood.
That no one else could see.
Yeah.
No one else saw the blood, but she saw it, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was established. And you actually see that shot in the trailers and all the commercials are using that image. I always find that interesting.
And then
I always find it interesting when I see a movie and then I realize after I see the movie, like, oh shit, they were using like the last shot of the film in all their marketing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that's...
Well, and then after that, you know, they go back, her and Paul do it.
No, man, I think it's before that.
But it can't be before that because it's coming for her.
But when did they do it? Because not only do they have sex on the couch, but then they have that moment where they sit there and they're holding hands. It goes from the pool house to the hospital where the girl's laying in bed because she was shot.
I guess you're right. But it's coming.
And then it goes from that.
But it's coming for her. How is she supposed to pass it along if it's coming for Paul?
See,
Paul wouldn't have been able to shoot.
See, that's the thing. You have to see this movie again. Mm-hmm. You have to see this movie again and record another spoiler episode where I do all the clarifications. Well, here's the important thing. And this is what I also think, again, backs up the whole you can't get rid of it no matter what. They do have sex. At some point towards the end of the movies, the two of them have sex and they become a couple because they're old friends anyway. And they become a couple. And like two people who simultaneously fall in love and realize that they both have the same herpes simplex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, oh shit, this person understands what I'm going through. You know, I can tell this person, oh baby, I gotta break out. You know, and she'll get it.
Yeah.
Because every now and then she gets a little breakouts and I gotta be cool about that shit too, right? I imagine that's what that conversation is like. I have no idea. Just putting that out there, people. I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
And so the final shot, which I wasn't expecting it to be the final shot. I was ready for this movie to keep going for like another 15, 20 minutes. I really was. I was like, what's going to happen next? Which is a sign of a good movie.
They're just walking down the street holding hands.
And there's someone in the background walking in the same direction as them.
And then it cuts.
And then it cuts written and directed by.
Yeah. So you never know if it's it, if it's not, if it's just somebody. Did they kill it? Did they not?
A little bit of ambiguity. So based on everything earlier in the movie, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that was it. And it was coming for both of them. And the two of them just know it. They know that this is their lives. All right, so when does they have sex? Then when is the shot of him driving by the hookers? That is after the hospital.
Yeah.
So all that happened after the hospital scene.
Yeah, they have sex. He drives around looking for hookers.
Right, he drives by two hookers and one of them, that really big, mean-looking one.
Yeah.
I was like, that one, she looks like she's from Siberia. like, eyes him the whole time. And that's why I'm like, yeah, dude, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Get fucking sex workers. They get rid of that shit quick. We don't see it happen, but we can assume that's what happens, right? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. My interpretation is he has sex with the hooker to pass it on, but it doesn't matter because the two of them are still... They're together. They know what's coming for them. The end of the movie is symbolic of what's going on for the rest of their lives. Holding hands. They're going to be moving forward together while it follows them. They're walking at the same pace as it.
Yeah.
And they're not freaked out about it. They never turn around to look back.
Nope.
Because they know it's there. But they also know if they keep at that pace, it's not going to get them. At least not at that moment. Nope. They have time. They're resigned to it. They're resigned to their fate. They're like a samurai who wakes up first thing in the morning and resigns himself to death that day. Like,
it's over.
And today is the day that I will die. Yeah. I'm prepared for it. So then when the day ends and you're not dead, it's like, oh, sure, tomorrow's a gift.
Sweet.
But tomorrow I am prepared to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that's a state that they're in. A Ronin-like state of mind.
Masterless samurai.
Masterless samurai with death constantly coming for them. Like us all.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
It's like us all.
Yeah.
Dude,
that's right around the corner, Chris.
I think that's why the movie works. That's why it resonates. I also like, and I've seen people complain about how people complain about this, which bothers me. But I like how it's never really explained what it is.
Yeah, not fully.
Yeah, it's just...
They don't call it a demon or a force or...
They never Google what it is.
Nope.
Vincent D'Onofrio doesn't Skype in to explain,
nope,
this is the son of Pazuzu, you know, or yeah, some bullshit like that. They don't know. They just know what it is, like, in terms of it passes through sex and it's coming for you and it wants to kill you. That's all you need to know.
Not very much.
You know, like, I don't want a prequel or a sequel where they explain it. I don't want any of that shit. I just want this movie to be itself, stand alone. It's awesome. Like, agreed. I like it the way it is.
Yeah. It was fun.
I want to see it again. Yeah.
It follows, Chris.
It does follow. Fucking following all the time. Crazy shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so did we miss anything? Is there anything you wanted to...
I think we hit all the major points.
All the major points. All the cool things about the movie. All the fun stuff.
Soundtrack's awesome.
Soundtrack's great.
Good score.
But, I mean, it's more of a soundtrack where it works great for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of not really one you can listen to on its own. Well, there's a couple songs you can.
Unless you want to be tense and freaked out all day.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there's like maybe three songs that are like not all crazy atmosphere and tension. And I played two of those on the Crespo Disco break in episode 116. So there you go. All right, well, there you go. That was our spoiler bonus episode. That was the end of the movie. That's the end of the show. Right?
Right.
All right, cool. Well, hey, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed that. Drew, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Hit us up at Crespo Diso. Hit me up on Twitter. On Twitter at Crespo Diso. Hit me up on Twitter at I Am Chris Crespo. Facebook, Instagram, Cinema Crespo Diso. And hit Drewster up on all the internets at Antihero419. Nine. Right?
Right.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a good one. Remember to support R-rated films like It Follows. Do not put your money in the banks. Read as many books as possible. And finally, cancel those magazine subscriptions, because that's a waste of money.